Hey everyone, this is Melissa Locke. I'm here with Greg Meyer and Chris Tripolino. We've got some fabric stuff to talk about. We want to let you all know that starting this Sunday, the 9th of January, 2022, we're suspending our in-person gatherings again. Just for several weeks, we hope, due to the current Omicron surge and COVID surge in our community.
Yep. But that sounds like a boring podcast.
Really? Well, that's it. Doesn't seem like it was Greg, and I'm not sure it sounds like a really good enough reason to make people listen to this.
Right. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a lot to learn from this. Here's the deal. We are being confronted by a really huge challenge with the pandemic in general, and certainly this surge of the Omicron variant right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the way we put this community together, the intention and the hard work of it, is really paying off at a time like this. And I think that's worth talking about. I mean, we were very deliberate and we worked really hard to create and keep a community that wouldn't rely on an ideal or preferred condition, but so we could still be church how we mean to be it, despite our circumstances.
Yeah, you mean like this time when some people can't even be with the people they live with easily in their own house. I mean,
yeah, let alone us be together as a community on a Sunday morning or something. I think it's worth talking about that because it helps us remember what our community means to be. And I think it can be a helpful check for any of us so that we can be about what we mean to be about, not just what we've become to be about because of what has happened or what we've gotten used to or because over time we've forgotten and let go of what was most vital to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, personally, it feels like sometimes life seems like a series of non-ideal moments, and realizing that what really matters can go on in spite of that feels like something that is not only important to us as fabric, but to me, like I need that, like dealing with one hiccup after the next.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of really important stuff that is also hard. So I'm really glad we don't have to give up on what's most important just because it's hard. And it is hard. So, but before we dive in too much more on all that, I think it's good to review why Fabric is pivoting from its usual format in the first place of in-person gatherings. And Greg, you shared a word yesterday, it's responsible. It's responsible.
Right. I think it's good to review these things because it lets us know what an actual decision is. And then we can kind of back up and look at all the sense of purpose behind it all. But yeah, responsible. I mean, this is the responsible thing to do. Face it. I mean, for us to try to gather people in person right now when Omicron is just going crazy in our community here, I have never known so many people sick with COVID at one time before. And it just plain would be irresponsible for us to try to get people to be in one space at the same time. But so it's not just a responsibility issue, but it's also an effectiveness issue. Face it. Who's going to come? I mean, if we're relying on being in person on Sunday morning to get our message out to be a community and no one shows up, that's not going to work. I mean, it seems like what we want to do, it's what we want to have happen, but face it, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be effective. And then there's just remembering that there's possibility here, right? I mean, we can not only still be fabric by not meeting together, but who knows what we might discover and how we can find other important ways of being community on this other path that we're going to be taking right now.
Yeah. And even just find really important reminders of who we are. Sometimes these times can be clarifying, even as they're really hard. So maybe we'll experience some of that together. And really, I think it's good to remember why we not only believe that we can do this, but also that we're in a pretty uniquely good position to do it as a church that doesn't think church or community like this is an institution or a building or an event or something we go to. We come together to try to be and to stay a movement of people that's alive and responding to whatever's going on around us. That's who we are.
Right. Our sense of church, our vision for it has a couple of components. And And we try to stick to them and not get distracted with all things that don't serve those basic components. And they're very simple. And one is of creating community, a community built of significant relationships. Another is dealing with conversations of matter, not just talking about what happens beyond the calendar or what you're supposed to do at a certain time or something like that, but what's really going on in our world, in our life, where what are the conversations we need to be digging into and learning from? And then another is doing all that in a three-stranded way. This three-stranded way referring to the strand of our true self, the strand of others, including all of creation, and then that third strand, that mysterious strand, that one is beyond and beneath and between and among and within and all that, that we often use a shorthand word for God, but God never does quite justice to the wonderfulness and the mystery of what that third strand is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So we just stick to those three things and kind of that's it.
So this pivot does affect those three things. There's no doubt about that. I think we should talk about that.
Right. You know, I think the one that probably is affected the least by it is that conversations that matter component. This is fairly easy to handle with podcasts and blog posts, particularly for adults, not so much for kids, but certainly for adults. It even, in fact, gives us the opportunity to reach a broader group of people. I know my daughter lives in New York State, and her kids were able to become part of our Fabric community during our last stretch of being on Zoom and via podcast rather than in person. So it does give us the opportunity to weave the fabric wider. That's probably the easiest one.
Right. So then there's this, you know, doing all this with this three-stranded view of life and the world in ways that feel inspiring. Chris, you should talk a little about that one. What do you think that's like now?
Yeah, I mean, it's doable. I mean, we're doing some of that, and some of it is just the perspective of it, but some of it is really about the experience of it. And I think that's a place that we really lose something when we can't be with people and experiencing something that stirs our soul and our emotions and is connected to the other nervous systems of people in the room. You know, it's like there's so much that we lose, but even that for a time is something that we can figure out how to do virtually.
The toughest one, I think, is building community out of significant relationships. Mm-hmm. Melissa, this is kind of your real cornerstone. Yeah. What do you think about that under this not in-person era?
I think it's more important than ever and harder than ever. Mm-hmm. I think not being face-to-face with each other really is hard. I mean, it takes a toll on community. It takes a toll on relationships. It takes a toll on us individually. And we can't do this as well when we can't be in person, but that doesn't mean we can't do it at all. Also, it's true that even when we can be in person, developing the kind of relationships that we think the world needs and that we are in a position to create together, that doesn't happen automatically, even just because we're in the same room. So either way, virtual, not, it takes intentionality to develop the kind of relationships that we want to be deliberate about. And so we can do that.
Right. I agree. I think this is the hardest. They're all tough. I think this is the hardest, but just because it's hard doesn't mean we can't do it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that kind of begs the question then. So in this phase, how can we be community when we can't be together?
Mm-hmm. You know, that really reminds me of a story that Tobiso Rowan told us a couple of years ago at Fabric. He had had an accident a couple of years before and lost the use of his legs. Mm-hmm. You can just imagine, I mean, changes everything, right? He had a long, ongoing depression, and he finally came out of it with this realization that he could either focus on the hundreds of things that he could no longer do, which is what he was doing, or he could focus on the thousands of things that he could still do. That was a game changer for him. Mm-hmm. Our situation doesn't feel nearly as hard as his. So I think we can certainly practice what Tobiso did and focus on the many ways we can still be community rather than the couple of ways that we can't right now. And for us, it really is only right now. Maybe weeks or months, in some ways, another year or so until we're able to really freely just mix with each other. But you know, I doubt it's going to be forever.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but we do have a lot that we can work with. We have virtual means of getting together. Imperfect, not wonderfully satisfying. But where would we be now without Zoom, people? I mean, seriously, as much as we love to complain about it, can you imagine not having that tool or live streams or the ability to easily text each other and check in? Jeez, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I don't know. But we also have this history of groups and some established relationships through those where people can be known and know others. So that you know, hey, I think this person could use a text right now. Or I know I can reach out to this person because mm-hmm. I need some advice, whatever. So that is something we really have.
Yeah, for sure. And we can do that outside of groups too, right? I mean, we can be in touch with each other and check in. And I think that's just another good reminder that it doesn't have to be just in those formal kind of relationships of care that we
absolutely
have established. Yeah. And the kids stuff too, you know, all different ages that we have creative and fun ways of figuring out how conversations that matter look in their context, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And connections that are supportive and life-giving for them.
Right. But people are so freaking tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we can have all the answers. You know, this is, hey, everything's fine. We have these tools and people are tired. It's so true. Anne Bancroft, I heard her speaking yesterday. She's the explorer. And she was talking about the wear and tear of living with so much ambiguity over such a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you are personally doing fine, it's still taking a toll. Our capacity is reduced. Our vision for life is lost, and we just get drummed down to the bare bones of things. And then there are people who aren't doing so well. I mean, maybe that are sick from this right now or compromised because of childcare needs or their jobs or businesses are lost. They have loved ones lost. I mean, think right. about those people.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I can relate so deeply with that disappointment and discouragement and that almost is like before this wave where it feels like, mm-hmm. oh, here we go again. This slow burn of stress that I thought that maybe we were moving beyond and, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel that
you it really the, was just a train coming right, at us, yeah. right?
Yes.
Because what's the option, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, with all that we're holding and all the layers of grief and struggle with this, finding ways to create supportive community right now, it feels really important, really important. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about as Fabric. That's why we are together. And it brings me back, you guys, it brings me back to one of the things that we've been saying forever, which is now taking on new meaning. Practice when it's easy. So you have the skills you need when it's not. Okay. So this is one of those times. This is the, it's not easy time.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a lot of them. We all get plenty of them. This is a big one that's shared, right? So thank goodness that we've practiced building community and relationships that know what to do and how to be with each other in hard times like this.
You know, Melissa, we say that line, practice when it's easy, so you have the skills you need when it's not so often, but we're almost always applying it on a practice when it's easy time, like we're reminding people. And now we're on the other side of the spectrum, yeah. right? We're now on that. I hope we were practicing because it ain't easy now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So the Care IQ tools, that comes to my mind first as things that we have been deepening practice of, you know, depending on when folks have joined Fabric, they may have heard a lot about Care IQ tools or maybe not much. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a wonderful time, an important time to review. Let's do a review. There were 6 basic tools that we identified together. Mm-hmm. We should watch those.
And the first one I have been using over and over again, and I'm glad I've been practicing it because it sure has come in handy right now. And that is, ask yourself, when I get in these care situations with someone else, what is my role? Rather than the question that I'm tempted to ask is, what should I do? I mean, I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to make everything all better and something like that. And usually it can't be fixed. There isn't any better. The question is, what is my role?
Right. And number 2 is set your boundaries. So that's simple. It's what's okay, what's not okay. What can you do? And be clear about it with the person that you are receiving care from and giving care to. That goes both ways. So what's okay, what's not okay, set your boundaries. And then number 3, listen deeply. This is so underrated. I think when we're the listener, we think, oh, it's not going to make a difference. But remember when you're listened to, how good that feels, how healing it feels. Yeah, don't underestimate that one.
I always thought that one was give advice.
Thanks, Craig. Let me give you some advice about that. Okay, so that's the first three. What are we missing here?
Yeah, well, another one is when you have listened deeply and you get to the end of that and there is that silence. And then what do? You ask this basic question, what could I do that would be helpful to you right now? It is so concrete and so manageable. Mm-hmm. And again, it can reflect your boundaries and so on. It shows that you are listening deeply and it can really be that next important step.
Yeah, there's a lot more to say about all these, but so good.
Well, and you know, for me, that this next one, number five, widen the circle, feels so important right now because it feels like everything is encouraging me to isolate, right? Like it just feels like I should be withdrawing. And I think reminding ourselves that, especially in those relationships of care, finding ways of reaching out to others to help hold the hard things feels essential.
Yeah. Professionals, friends, family, like who else? How can we widen the circle?
Right. Yeah. And then the last one is keep yourself healthy. And you know, that may feel almost impossible these days because it you may feel depleted and whatever, but specifically in these relationships, maybe most as caregivers, finding ways to meet our own needs outside of those care situations, that feels pretty important. And and keeping our own health in the forefront, you know, maybe that's something that we are reflecting on regularly now.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've been practicing these for a couple of years because we need these tools pretty sharp for our present situation.
So make sure to check out our CareIQ page, fabricmpls.com/CareIQ. So there's another thing we've been practicing besides CareIQ for a long time as a community that is helping us a lot right now, I think. And that's one of Greg's favorite words, which is discontinuity. Discontinuity. So that is changing things up all the time. And, you know, we do that on purpose because it helps us from becoming dependent on one certain form or one certain way of experiencing our community. That really serves us well right about now, I think.
Yeah, it might sound a little brutal, you know, rolling stone gathers in the moss, but in some ways it keeps us free of the stuff that doesn't matter and helps us keep holding on to the stuff that does. You know, another thing that does it and is a very concrete thing is not having a building. I think that's really serving us well right now. The fact that we don't associate being fabric with having a building, we don't point at a building and say that's fabric and we can't go there, so we can't be it or something. No, we're used to meeting in a lot of ways and in a lot of different places, and we don't associate what fabric is to us necessarily with a particular space. And yeah, that's helpful when we can't go to the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and having a variety of technology at our fingertips so that we can pivot quickly and easily, that feels like an element of this too, that, you know, whether we're at field or virtual or somewhere else, we can always use some of these tools to help keep us connected.
Yeah. And we've had some practice with that, like with using technology in our past. So coming in handy.
Yeah. Glad we've been doing that. We've been talking about this, but I want to drill down on it a little deeper. We have our group connections and we've been practicing having those for a long, long time. We don't have to introduce some new way of finding community for people who are used to it being, you know, spoon-fed to them by showing up at a Sunday service that was led by a pastor or, you know, going to a Bible study or a class or something like that, or, you know, finding their connections through other groups like a yoga class, a community ed class that you might go to, or your soccer, or your broomball team, or people you hang out with. I mean, all those are great things and they're good people, good friends, good relationships, things that we could have more of in our lives. But they aren't trying to help us create the kind of ongoing significant relationships that fabric groups are meant to create. you know, a space for people to practice and experience sharing and caring and trusting and growing. Those things are even more important and can carry more weight for our community at a time like this. And I'm glad our people have been practicing it for a long time so that they can use it now and let it carry that extra weight.
Yeah, and they can share it with other people who haven't had a chance to experience that yet, because it really can change things. It's not perfect. But over time, boy, it really makes a difference, and it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you haven't tried it yet, or maybe you're part of a group that really fell apart or something, I mean, that happens. And
yeah, especially now it's hard.
Yeah. And they exist, and let's give it another shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so tempting just to try to soldier on, to keep going and keep meeting in person. And I feel like that's sort of a picture of how it is in all of the elements of my life right now. But really, I mean, that's not heroic. It's just stupid, right? I mean, it's like, it's not our long-term solution. This is just kind of the moment that we're in, and yeah, we're going to adapt and be ready for the next moment that's presented to us.
Yeah, you know, what's heroic isn't to soldier on, but to have the foresight and to have done the groundwork to be able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shown that we can do that together.
Yeah, it's time to not get hung up on the hundreds of things we can't do, like Tabiso reminded us, but instead to look at the thousands of things that we still can do.
We want every single person listening, we want you to know that you are not alone. So even if the lack of physical presence of the people you love and long to be with isn't possible, you aren't alone. Even if you felt lonely for a long, long time, you aren't alone. There are people who care and who need your care. You're part of something bigger than yourself and bigger than your circumstances.
Yeah, that's the fabric. Woven of these three strands of self, and others, and God that wrap around you and make you part of something bigger.
Yeah, something that we can be, something that we can do together.
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 So we're going to be spending these next 5 weeks exploring these core values that we hold and how they help us be fabric. We hope doing that is going to help us all call on them so that we can be fabric in the richest way possible as a community. And we hope it will help each and every one of us consider what is at our core. What's at your core, and what do you want at your core? Because those aren't always the same. So thank you for being fabric with us.